You know, something that is easily overlooked and maybe often uncomprehended is simply the changing of the seasons. We grow up seeing summer, winter, fall, and so on. But realize that this is something that our Creator has set in motion with a purpose, that it should continue as long as the earth remains. The changing of the seasons is directly connected and attributed to God's love for each and every one of us. Indeed, for His love for the world. And in some ways, that's mind-boggling. Noah and his family were on that ark. And when that ark finally came to rest, we realized that Noah went out of the ark and immediately he made an altar to the Lord and made burnt offerings on that altar to the Lord. And you can look at Genesis chapter 8 and read about this, that the Lord, He smelt that offering, that burnt offering, as a soothing aroma. And then the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination in men's heart is evil from their youth. And yet God still loved man so much. He said that He will never again destroy every living creature as He had done. And you look at verse 22 at the end of that section. And while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, all day and night shall not cease. And so God made all these things the way He made them. And He made them for our good. And that they were generated out of His great love for us. And I'll tell you what, as difficult as it may be to appreciate this cold and the snow, if we were to step back and just get the big picture, that the changing of the seasons is a constant reminder to us of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Creator. Lord, the unchanging God and His unchanging ways, His covenant promise to us. And we learn from the seasons about these things, that nothing lasts forever. Right? The winter that we have here, if I remember looking this morning, I think we have 49 days till spring. I have an app on my phone that shows the days, the hours, the minutes, and the very seconds. And I'm watching those seconds closely. But we learn from the seasons that we can trust God. We realize that the seasons are a predictability. Okay? So we can predict that winter is going to come. We also can predict that fall or spring will come, that summer will bloom, and that fall will come, and then again winter. We can do that without any question because nothing has changed. God promised these things would continue as long as the earth exists. Springtime, summer, it's all a cycle. And Solomon uses these cycles to describe the cycles of life. He turns his attentions to that as we've heard in the scripture that was read this morning. And so in our lesson today, I want to cover two main points in verses 1 through 10, and then three more points in verses 11 through 15. And so we want to begin with just observation. Solomon begins the third chapter, as he said, to everything there is a season, for every purpose under the sun, a time. There is 14 pairs of thoughts in this first chapter describing as we read through them. And what we must note is Solomon, he's not telling us that we can choose from these. We can't choose from one or the other. There is no choosing involved in the seasons of life. Rather, he's saying that life, like these seasons, is a constant change. And we have to be ready for the changes when they come. We make ourselves ready by acquiring faith through the Word of God, through study of the Scriptures. We make ourselves ready by kneeling down and humbling ourselves and praying to the Almighty God. And each one of these seasons of life, when they come and when they go, there is nothing that we can ever possibly do to stop them from changing. Right? We walk by faith. And we're anchored to Jesus, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And we're standing on the rock of Christ, Matthew 7, 24 through 25. Those things are unchangeable. And that even when the winters come, and in Matthew it talks about the rains descending, the floods blew, and the wind beat on the house, all those things, even when the seasons change in our life, we are like Mount Zion. The Scripture describes that in Matthew. In Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 28, Christ's kingdom that cannot be shaken, all because of God's great love for us. And listen, only the arrogant mind in this world believes that they have control over the seasons of life. And that's something that the world has taught people, that somehow they have control and they can manipulate and they can make things good and make things better and they can avoid the pitfalls, but you can't. That kind of power is the kind of power that can create. And that's not possible except with God. So the first 8 verses, they reveal something to us, and these observations about this seasons of life. Solomon wants us to understand this. He wants us to understand that there is a helplessness involved here, an emptiness associated with the seasons of life. And that helps us to understand the necessity to prepare ourselves for the times of winter, the times of struggle, the times of hardships, that we will be stronger in our living in this world. Verse 9 of chapter 3, we read these words, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors?" Think about that. There's no profit because in the end, we die and our soul is translated or transferred either into heaven or into hell, ultimately. So Solomon wants us to understand the necessity for these things. In other words, what is the point of all our efforts? What have we done? When I pass away, what did I leave behind? What do I have ahead? People today, you know, they want the laughing and the dancing and the pleasure of life. And if we remember when Jesus described in Luke chapter 8 the types of hearts that will not be saved, one of those types is the heart that they're completely involved with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. That's what the world tells us we need to strive for, all the good things. And the problem is that you can't avoid the bad things. Yes, you can have laughing and you can have pleasure, but if you try to avoid the bad things, the laughing and the pleasure, the laughing is going to turn to mourning, as Solomon said in verse 4. Right? We make every effort to live the good life. Then there's healing, planting, gathering, loving, peace. And so you make the effort for all that only to find out that you're going to be facing times where the plant doesn't grow, where the sickness overtakes, when that which you build broke, and the love in many hearts turns to hate, and the peace that you enjoy in this world is taken away with war. And we're helpless to change those things. We can't do that. Solomon's making that very clear. The most significant of these changes, of course, is a time to be born and a time to die. You look at verse 2, Solomon makes that comparison. Nothing is permanent in this world. Nothing. We have a physical life. The physical dies. As Solomon says, we build and it falls down. It breaks. We plant. Things grow. Things die. Nothing is permanent in this life. And that's why it's so important to be thinking about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, and about the truth of God's Word, because it guides us to what is perfect. People try. You know, I love the fall season. I've said that every fall. I say it every time fall comes around. I'm so tired of the winter and the snow and everything, but I love that fall when it comes. I love the fall season. I wish it could be like this all year round, I say. But it can't. Because then it gets cold again. So what do we do? First, we understand that life is short, right? Psalm 90 verse 10 talks about a person that they live 70 years, and if by reason of strength they live 80 years, right? But their boast is only in labor and sorrow. So we live our life with a purpose, and part of that purpose is our being molded and strengthened by God through the seasons of life. Secondly, and the most important really, is that we need to prepare to meet our God before we fly away. That Psalm 90 and 10 ends with those words, for it is life is soon cut off and then we fly away. And so Amos chapter 4 verse 12, we need to prepare to meet God before we do fly away. You can't do it after you start flying. So when should we prepare? Paul makes it pretty clear that he says, it's high time to awake out of your sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Romans 13 and verse 11. And Paul also, he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And so Solomon and Paul and the other writers of the scriptures, especially Jesus, they all agree now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to make a decision, because tomorrow might be one of those wintry seasons that come into your life. And, you know, think about the seasons. We think we have tomorrow. In fact, the brother Randy very clearly corrected me this morning when I talked about how we might not have tomorrow. And he says, we might not. You know, I said something about I might not be alive 5 years from today. And Randy said, you might not be alive 5 minutes from today. We don't know. We don't know. I was in a congregation on a Sunday morning. Preaching's going on and a man fell over right out of his pew. You don't know. And so what do we do? What do we do? We need to prepare. And I want to look at verse 10 in this text where Solomon writes, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. So there's a reason for all this. We need to prepare for these God-given tasks that God has given to us. I have seen the God-given tasks, he says, which the sons of men are to be occupied by, right? All things, ups and downs in life, God's people can benefit from those. We understand what Solomon means. And that is to say that God designed all things the way in which they are. We talked about that in a previous lesson, right? You cannot cook a turkey in the washing machine. And God made things with purpose behind them. And so all throughout the troubles, ups and downs of life, God's people will benefit. Because we can learn from the things that God burdens us with. Right? Some people make the mistake that Solomon is talking about, trying to show what life is like without God. Solomon is showing us what life is like with God. Right? He's revealing how life is going to be for us in this text. And all mankind, we're all going to experience good times, bad times, winter, summer, fall. We're all going to experience those times of life when things are going good and when they're not doing so good. And Jesus taught that the Father makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good. We remember that. It rains on the good and on the evil, on the just and on the unjust. We know that's true. So this is across the board. God makes these things happen. He has designed the world to work the way it does so that it affects every living soul. And whatever course life takes, right, this preacher, he's telling us that God has made life to be the way that it is. The business of life, the business of living. All souls will go through good times and bad. Right? And that, there's a popular term that was made by a fellow named H.C. Hammer in a song, and the song was, "It's all good." It's not all good. You know, that was back in 1994, back in the beginning of creation, when things went awry with sin, God told us it's not all good. And we remember from our lesson in chapter 2, we can't change anything. There's an ebb and flow in life that will not change until this world comes to an end. We have to live with humility. That's what our job. Live with humility. Humble ourselves in the sight of God, James says, and He will lift you up. His mighty hands. So what do we do? You know, we could just throw up our hands and we could say, I can't do this. I got to give up. And no, you can't do that. So Solomon gives us reasons why the answer is no, why we don't just say, I give up. Because there's hope. Because enduring is what brings us comfort and hope. So we look at this. Number one, the fact that we do not know what seasons change. Right? He's made everything beautiful in its time. We also put enmity, eternity in the hearts. Except that no one can find out what God is doing from the beginning to the end. That's the text. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows. We can't predict those things. So God has given these seasons, and it's appropriate time for us to learn. In His infinite wisdom, our Creator God, in His infinite wisdom, His knowledge that surpasses all understanding, He set the seasons of life so that we learn from them and we're tempered by them and strengthened by them. And He did it so that we could learn about Him and come closer to Him. He has put eternity in your heart so that everyone has a sense that there must be something greater than me. There's something greater than even just this whole planet. There's something greater than the amazing expanse of the universe. And that something greater is God. And the sooner we realize that we're small in concept here. Just this morning I listened to a video and it talked about the idea of of this world coming into being as taking a single atom to the farthest stretch of the universe that we can get to, and then throwing a dart and having it hit that atom. That's how crazy the idea that all this came together by happenstance and by accident. We don't know what's going to happen next. We just know that there is an eternity. And we know that what's going to happen at the end of the life that we live is going to be eternity. And so we live through the seasons. God's in His way. He tempers us and He keeps us on our toes, if you will, dealing with the changes of life. And we know what God is working in us. He's developing and strengthening in us that forward motion, that time preparing us for where nothing ever changes. Think about that. All the trials, all the good times, all the bad times, everything in life can be a blessing to us. And it's true, just because the hard times come, we can realize that we're strengthened by the hard times. They prepare us. Good times, they build us up and remind us about God's love. Good times remind us about God's greatness. Good times remind us about His promises, and that's all great. They remind us that we have fellowship together with one another in something amazing called the church. Something good to look forward to. But there will come a time when we ask, well, what's next? But we can't discover that time. We can't know what comes next. We live day by day. Right? If we knew that our season of life was going to change, if we could know that, right, we could be prepared for it. But by not knowing, we are preparing ourselves for whatever may come so that we're not privileged, right? Just like the cold winter every year, you know, when is this ever going to end? And it's true, the long winter days, in some cases, depending on how we approach it, it causes depression. You see these long nights and it's dark, 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 and it seems like it's never going to change. But they do change. And it's our greatest challenge as we live by faith to know what God is doing all the time, to be able to connect the dots. No one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. But what if? What if we do what God wants us to do? You know, what if, you know, it's like I complain that the snow's deep and you gotta plow it and it's hard and I'm just tired of it. And Brother Randy always reminds me that the snow is God's, part of God's creation. It's something to look forward to. To look out and, what if we just look out at the snow and just think about how glorious it is and how beautiful it is and how God made this snow for us? And what if we think about, use the snow to remind us of when we were young? Remind us of those times when we spent time sled riding with our friends, a time when we went skiing if you want to get off of school because of snow. Right? What if we just remember what in the changes in life? What if when we're sick? What if we have cancer? And we can look at our life and think about all the people we've convinced them of the brevity of life. We can do that. Rather than to be complainers, we can be builders. And we can chat to God's glory and to our own good. Right? We don't control the seasons and we don't control our given. Right? I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Remember, every season brings something new, something different. And it also reminds us that we're alive, that we have time, and we need to make the best of it. Right? You have life, the blessings, they're so innumerable, and we appreciate the moments that we have right now. No matter the circumstances of life, life is a gift, and experiencing these things can be a gift. David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul may know. My soul knows very well. Psalm 139. Right? The psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. And don't forget, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 6 and 23. We can look at this the way God wants us to and live a life that fulfills His purpose for us in our lives. Good times, bad times. God's children have the gift from God to reason things, to have a reason to rejoice even in the hardest of times. And no matter what these seasons bring, and no matter whether it's full of wrinkles or full of smooth, wonderful times, smooth sailing, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord again, and I will say, rejoice. So we can appreciate the good times. We can embrace each season as it comes, whether it's building up and dancing, laughing, embracing, whether it's mending, whether it's loving, whether it's gathering, whether it's something that helps us to endure the winter days. We can appreciate the difficult times as we look to see how they're teaching us. Times when God does His greatest work on the hearts and the souls of mankind. His greatest work of faith. That's why James was able to say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing or the trying of your faith produces patience. And so God has a purpose behind this various seasons in life. And yes, God knows that when things that, you know, we look at things through a spiritual eye, that we will grow spiritually strong, producing that spiritual character in us that enables us to be prepared that day when we fly away. And we all will. Helps us to overcome these hard times. And that leads to the very last point, trusting God who arranges the seasons. We need to trust Him. Verse 14, we look at this, verse 14 and 15. He says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear before Him that which has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So nothing's going to change. We must trust the Lord in every season of our life. God has done this so that we will fear Him and trust Him, it says in verse 14. Understanding the circles of life, it helps us to appreciate that we have a mighty Creator. It's like the song that we sang earlier. In His time, He makes all things beautiful. Lord, please show me every day. You hear those words? Every day. Not just in the summer, not just in the fall, not just in the spring, but even in the winter. Show me every day You're teaching me Your way. That You do just what You say in Your time. By faith, we can see that God has made all things beautiful in its time. Times of hurt, times of joy, God can make all things beautiful if we look through the spiritual lens of His Word. So the Apostle Paul summed up this idea of all things being beautiful in Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Everything. And notice that Paul, he didn't say everything is good. But for those who love the Lord, God can work all things together according to His purpose. The purpose is the salvation of our souls. There's a season for everything. There's a time for everything. We can't see how God moves, but we can certainly see His love moving. And all the pieces come together. The puzzle comes together, making all things beautiful in His time. So the most important season of life, of course, is that we're born, and the contrast is we die. Right? In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear about being born and dying. He makes it clear about how important it is for us to understand that dying is going to come to every life. You look at Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Paul says that, do you not know as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? There's a death there. And that God had raised Jesus from the dead in the like manner He would also raise us up to walk in newness of life. That newness of life is what prepares us for eternity, a time when either good or bad will be ours. Good if we obey the gospel, if we're baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ, and we become His, and we live a life for Christ. Through all the turmoils and troubles of life, He's always there with us. Bad if we don't put on Christ, if we're not baptized into Christ, then we are living in our sins, and that results in eternal death. So life and death are very important. Solomon points this out. And they both happen. So what is your need today? What is it you want to do today? Well, today is the day of salvation. We read that. We need to wake up from our sleep. And we need to realize that there's only two options, heaven or hell. And we can make the right choice this very single day to start a new season of life. A season of a spiritual walk with God that leads to eternal life in heaven. All we have to do is arise from our seat, wake up from your sleep, come forward, be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away, and become His child forever. And all the benefits, all the blessings, all the power of God working in your life through the Holy Spirit of God, through His Word, will be yours for the taking. And if you're here with us today and maybe you have walked astray, you're on the wrong path, there's something going in your life that needs to change and you need help, we're here to help you. We are here to pray with you. We're here to help and counsel and look to the Word of God, the power of God unto salvation. So we have an invitation. Whatever you might need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.